Give me the thumbnail of what MTS, what happened to them.
You know, it's a good story, Francis. I think MTS provides a pretty good example of the potential perils that government contractors can face in this area of non-disclosure. They're essentially a Minnesota-based test system maker. Back in 2008, March of 2008, they pled guilty to submitting false U.S. export license applications for shipments to India by omitting critical information linked to test equipment for some nuclear power plants. They paid a hefty fine, about $400,000, and then we can kind of fast forward 3 years to what just recently happened back in the March-April timeframe. In April this year, MTS reported they had recently been suspended by the Air Force as a result of its failure between 2008 and 2011 to disclose in its online representation and certification application, or ORCA, that had pled guilty back in 2008 to these two misdemeanors for making false statements related to export matters. I think the suspension, you know, what it does is it severely limits the ability of MTS to obtain new federal contracts, subcontracts. And, you know, another thing that a lot of people don't always think about is that now many state and local governments, as well as a growing number of commercial contractors, will not do business with a contractor that has been suspended or barred by a federal government agency. MTS remains suspended as of today, and I think the punishment may be slightly less drastic on MTS than it would be to other federal contractors, because only a small portion of MTS work is with the federal government. Mm-hmm. But they themselves have reported that an extended suspension or debarment could have a material adverse effect on this business. So it's a big deal for them, as it is for most government contractors.
You're writing about this in the Washington Business Journal, and we have that piece linked up at federalnewsradio.com. As I read this piece, it occurred to me that the situation here is not dramatically different, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, than a lot of situations where the issue is not so much the original misdoing as it is the way that people find out about that misdoing, the disclosure element, the way you go about saying, hey, by the way, I've had this issue in the past.
Yeah, I mean, certainly failure to disclose can be a major problem, as is lying or misrepresenting going forward. A lot of times companies compound issues by having a problem that arises or occurs, and then they misrepresent or lie about it, and that just makes it worse. In the MTS situation, theoretically, they could be suspended or debarred for the underlying export control issue problem. But it's clear that in this particular case, at least how they represented back in their April news report, is that they were suspended in this case for their failure to complete the ORCA certification and to identify that they had been found criminally liable for misdemeanors in this particular area. So clearly, in this case, the failure to disclose in the certification basically led to the initial suspension.
So here are the FAR requirements that you list in your piece. Mm-hmm. You have to certify whether the contractor or any of the owners, directors, managers, and supervisors of the company are presently debarred or suspended, have within a three-year period been convicted or have a civil judgment rendered against it in numerous areas, presently indicted or otherwise criminally or civilly charged by a government entity for a range of offenses, and they're all listed in the FAR.
Sure.
Or have been notified within the past 3 years of delinquent federal taxes in excess of $3,000 that you haven't paid.
Right.
If any of those things are in place, are realities, I can understand why you would be a little sheepish about letting the government know that when you're trying to bid on a contract. But do any of those preclude you, other than the debarment, obviously?
Right.
That's pretty self-evident.
Right.
Are those, though, do they pretty much put the kibosh to you being able to try to do business?
No, I mean, absolutely not. And actually, I think one mistake that happens with some companies is coming up with an aggressive reading under the certification requirement, by which the company essentially decides that it doesn't have to identify a past issue in the certification or disclosure. I think it's often a mistake, given the nature of that FAR 52.2095 clause, which is the certification regarding responsibility matters. I mean, the intent of that clause is to help contracting officers make a determination as to whether an offeror is responsible or not. You know, my feel is that given the broad breadth of actions that are identified and the nature of the government contracts, there's a fair number of contractors that probably need to make some disclosure under that certification. So in my mind, let's say you're a good-sized defense contractor and one of your principals has an unsatisfied tax liability in excess of $3,000, which hasn't been satisfied. It needs to be disclosed. I mean, is the contracting officer likely going to find your company not responsible? I think it's pretty unlikely. But if you're aware of the issue and you don't disclose it, you open yourself up to, and here's one we haven't even talked about, bid protest allegations, which I think are a big one in this particular area, as well as the possibility of your contract being terminated for fraud, suspension of debarment, as MTS has found, or potentially even criminal or civil fraud actions. So in my mind, the benefit of the decision not to disclose, rarely, if ever, outweighs that risk of non-disclosure.
Is there such a thing as too much disclosure for somebody who goes, well, we're going to be overly sensitive to this and we're just going to say everything that we possibly can that might be potentially an issue in the future?
Well, you know, I mean, let's talk about, and we've got a couple of different areas here. One, the clause of what we've been talking about is ORCA, as well as the 452.295 clause, which deals with certifications regarding responsibility matters. Both of those are really looking for an acknowledgement or identification of an action that has already occurred against the company or against the principal, you know, a criminal charge, something of that nature. To me, those are ones that clearly need to be disclosed. There is the other one, which is a little more complicated, which is under the new mandatory disclosure program that was enacted, you know, in regs in 2007, became into place in 2008, where a contractor has to self-disclose, make a mandatory disclosure when it has credible evidence of certain types of actions. Those are sometimes more complicated as to what you do or what you don't do because of the nature of the action and the potential ramifications to the company. When you find yourself in that sort of that situation, obviously, senior company management, in-house counsel, outside counsel really need to analyze the clause, factual situation, make a determination as to whether or not there's a requirement to disclose or whether it's in your best interest to disclose. But where you've already had a conviction or something of that nature, I think most of the time the decision really should be. And also the other thing, Francis, is initially what you're really doing is you're checking off the box that you have had a criminal charge or indictment or something of that nature against you in the last 3 years. Most likely the contracting officer will come back and ask for further explanation, at which point in time you can provide that explanation. But the initial is just to check off that there is something out there that meets the definition.